What about the recording? I don't have a recording button, I think.
It's on.
Ezra, do you see the recording?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Okay. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. The parsha is Vayechi, the last parsha in the first book of the Torah, the parasha of Breshit, the parasha of Vayechi. The first parasha is also called Breshit. This is the parasha, if you are concerned about the names, it kind of is an optimistic point. The parasha called Vayechi, and he lived. There are many, many interpretations offered about this pasuk, but we're particularly interested in Yehuda, in the bracha that was received by Yehuda, and in fact, not the entire bracha, but only part of it. And that part of it contains actually a prophecy. Well, the way we understand it is that there's a prophecy by Yaakov about Yehuda in the future. Of course, this is clearly stated in the Medrashim and in other sources, as we shall see. But we're interested first in learning the Psukim with the Rashi's commentary. Before we begin, I just want to mention that this year is also supported by the loving memory of Ophir Agassi Zal, by his family. I think this is going to be an evening on the Yahrzeit. I think we'll send out a notification about that. So the pasuk says this, Yehuda. Like Yaakov turns and he says, Yehuda. He's already talked about the first three. This is important to remember, that the first wife of Yaakov, chronologically, was Leah. And Leah had four sons, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Yehuda was the fourth last son of the first wife of Yaakov, whose name was Leah. Yosef, of course, was the elder of two children of the beloved wife that Yaakov had, Rachel. Leah, Rachel. Afterwards, Binyamin was born. So Rachel had, and she died when he was born. So the wives, the two wives, Rachel, Leah, had together six children. Six children. Yehuda received his name from his mother, Leah, who said that she's thankful, or has to thank God for the fact that she had a son. Why was she thankful? I mean, she had three sons before. She didn't call them Yehuda. And the answer is that she felt that Yaakov was going to have 12 sons. And he had four wives. And so she imagined, or she thought, that each of the wives would have three sons. Three sons times four. But in order to make sense, to make sense of things. After all, Yaakov had four wives, and it didn't exactly work out the way he wanted him. He wanted to marry Rachel, but he had to marry Leah first. So after Leah was married to him, he got, you know, her handmaiden. The same thing with Rachel. And so somehow she imagined that whatever had to be would be divided up between these four wives, which also had to be. And so she said she should have gotten three sons. And she had four. So the fourth son, which gave her an advantage in the family, the fourth son gave her an advantage in the family. So she called him Yehuda. So back to the pasuk, Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha. I mean, it's like a trick. Yoducha, they will give in to you. But it's the same word as Yehuda. Ata yoducha achecha. Your brothers will all treat you as though it's a wondrous thing that you exist. Rashi says, look at the Rashi, you see? Yehuda ata yoducha achecha. Since Yaakov was kind of disagreeable about the first brothers, Reuven, because of what he did, Shimon Belevi, what was it they did? Can't get into it now, but you should know it. Ve'etchil Yehuda lesug la'achorav. Shelo yuchichenu al ma'aseh tamar. So suddenly Yehuda felt inadequate and was afraid to confront Yaakov. And he thought that Yaakov would blast him also because of what happened with Tamar, where he was not careful, serious, led to a tragedy of sorts. Ukira'o Yaakov b'divrei ritzui. And Yaakov instead called out to him and said, come, let us talk it over, right? Yehuda, Yaakov said, lo atakim otam. You're not like them, you're Yehuda. Ata yoducha achecha. You're the one who had accepted praise from your brothers. The second phrase, Yadcha be'oref oivecha, Yadcha, your arm, is in the back, the nape of the neck, oivecha, of your enemy. What is he talking about? Rashi, Yadcha be'oref oivecha, Rashi, b'imei David. This took place, and he has a connector. Shneimar, there's a pasuk that says, "Vavayti tali oref," that the oivim, the enemies of David HaMelech, were grabbed by the nape of the neck. It said the same thing. So yeah, he has a reference, but obviously he's changing our attitude to what's going on. This is not just Yaakov expressing his opinion about his sons, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. They didn't do the right thing. They weren't the way they should be. They lose their claim to leadership, but Yadcha be'oref oivecha, suddenly we have the change, according to Rashi, that this took place in the days of David and he has a pasuk, which makes the connection, which is perfectly legitimate, but Yadcha be'oref oivecha. We know that the beginning, right, in the beginning of the Parsha of Vayechi, Rashi tells us that Yaakov wanted to tell the future, wanted to say something about what's going to happen, because Bo didn't let him. So here we have difficulties. Yadcha be'oref oivecha, I mean, it means something. It doesn't mean that it was b'yimei David. You have to be especially tuned in to get what Rashi said. Okay, we'll get back to it. Yadcha be'oref oivecha, yishtachavu lecha b'nei avicha, the sons of your father will come and bow down to you. Just as they came to bow down to Yosef, they're going to come down to bow down to you, b'nei avicha. Al shem shayu min hashim harbei, the brothers came from several wives, harbei, four wives. Lo amar b'nei imecha. Lo amar b'nei imecha. He didn't call them the sons of their mother, singular. Kederch Amar Yitzchak. Yitzchak called his sons, B'nai Imecha. But of course, is what Rashi means to tell us is that you would imagine that Yaakov would be connected to the versions that were promulgated by his father. His father called the children B'nai Imecha. So how come Yaakov said it was called the B'nai Avicha? So Rashi says, because there were more wives. Yitzchak only had one wife, and Yaakov had four wives. So that was a reason. But the question that Rashi is kind of asking, that why did Yaakov change the nusach? Why did he change the form if we have it clearly stated for us? Al shem shayu minashim harbe. Lo amar b'nei mecha gider shabar Yitzchak. Pasuk tet. So what do we have in pasuk yud? Pasuk chet that we just learned. Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha. You're a good guy. Your brothers are going to be thankful and appreciative of you. Yadcha ba'or ba'vecha. For some reason, according to Rashi, is a statement about the future. That, you know, we don't know what the future is, but we know that Yadcha ba'or ba'vecha, that somehow you will be in control. Yishtachavu lecha b'nei avicha, and your brothers will bow down to you, means that they will be accepting of your leadership, right? They'll be accepting of your leadership. Okay. That's the first pasuk, like a little heavy, but pasuk tet, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Why call him a gur? A gur is a baby lion. Aryeh Yehuda. Like Gur Aryeh. What's Gur Aryeh? Gur is the baby, and Aryeh is the adult of a lion. Gur Aryeh Yehuda, Rashi says. You see the Rashi? Just 1 second. Gur Aryeh. Al David Nitnabe. So here we have two new pieces of information. One is that we're talking about David HaMelech, and the other is that Yaakov is prophesying. Nitnabe. Yaakov is a prophet, and even though at the beginning of the parasha it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow him to tell them what's going to be in the future, that doesn't mean that Yaakov was not a prophet and that his brachot to his sons were not prophetic. They are. It's just that in some way they don't include everything that Yaakov wanted to tell his children. B'tchila gur, you see the Rashi? At first, he would be a gur. He's called a gur. He's like the young king. B'yot Shaul Melech Aleinu Atayita Motziva maybe et Yisrael. And even when Shaul was the king, you, Yehuda, were the ones who were Motziu maybe et Yisrael. You're the ones who were the real leader. Levasov Aryeh, that's when you were a gur. Levasov Aryeh, Kshem Lichu Alehem, and at the end he was an Aryeh, a lion. And that took place when David was crowned king of Israel. Vizeo Shetergeim Unkelus, Shilton Yehe, Vishiruya, Be Tchilato. So that Gur Aryeh is not to be read, according to Rashi, as the little lion, but Gur became an Aryeh, Yehuda. In the case of Yehuda, the Gur became an Aryeh. What is the Gur? When he had some kind of administrative position in the court of Shaul, Aryeh, he became king. He took over from the court of Yehuda. Miteref b'ni Alita. the second phrase in that pasuk, Terev is disaster, murder. Mi Terev, from the murder of Bnei Alita, you went up. Mi Terev Bnei Alita. Mi Terev Rashi. Mi Mashecha Shadeticha. What I was suspicious of you. Here it is. Bima, from what I was worried about. Biterev Taraf Yosef. Chayara Achalato. I thought that he was dead, and that some bad animal had eaten away at him. Zehu Yehuda Shenimshal Bezehu Yehuda Shenimshal Aryeh. And Yehuda, after all, was called an Aryeh. The flag of Yehuda had a lion on it. Bini Alita, Alita, to go up. My son, you went up. Salakta Datsmecha, you went up. You took yourself away. Salak means to go up. Vamarta Mabetza. Mabetza? What are we getting from this? And somehow he changed what the brothers were about to do. Bechein Meharigat Tamar. So also, when they threatened to kill Tamar, Shehoda, he admitted it. Tzedkami many, that's what he said. He, Yehuda, said Tzedkami many about Tamar, and she wasn't king. The next part, she wasn't killed, I'm sorry. The next part is Karar Rabat Karyeh. And since he's an Aryeh, somehow Karav Ravatsi crouched like an Aryeh might do it, right? About Lefikach, because of all of this, the Pasuk says Karav Ravatz. He's crouched down, Bimei Shlomo. And that took a time in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Ish Tachat Gafno. Everybody, you know, Korah Rabatz is like, you know, you're resting. The lion is resting. It's crouching down and kind of just yawning and keeping its peace. So in this pasuk, Gur Aryeh Yehuda is a reference to the fact that Yehuda is going to become king. Viterev Bini Alita, again a reference to his goodness, the good part of him. Korah Rabatz Karyeh, right? He was able to be at peace with himself, with his surroundings, right? Uchelavi miyikimenu, uchelavi miyikimenu, bigorah. Okay. Somehow the comparison of Yehuda to an Aryeh, everybody's afraid of him, but you know, the Aryeh, they also know how to relax and be calm. And that was the appropriate comparison. Now, Pasuk Yud. Lo Yasur, and this is a difficult Pasuk, as we know, Lo Yasur Shevet B'Yehuda. The word Shevet could mean a tribe, but could also mean a staff of authority. Lo yasu shevet miyuda, that Yehuda will retain the authority that's represented in the shevet, in the staff. Lo yasu shevet miyuda. Rashi, mi David va'elach. Lo yasu, never. Mi David va'elach. There's something about the kingship of David that is endless. It's endless. How could that be? I mean, we all know that that's not quite true, that they were kings who replaced kings, you know, non-members of the family. And we know that they were wicked kings and disrespectful kings and kings that even promoted idolatry. So what exactly is Lo Yasur Shev Miyuda Midavid Ve'elach? What? What will not be removed from David Ve'elach? Elo Rashay Galuyot Shebe Bavel Sherodim Et Ha'am B'Shevet. Sherodim Et Ha'am B'Shevet. That even in Bavel we know that when the Jews were exiled from Eretz Yisrael and had to go to Babel, some of them went to Babel, they set up communities that were directed by Jewish leadership. And that Jewish leadership was called, they were called Reshe Gola, the heads of, the leaders of the exiled Jewish people. So he says, Elu Reshe Galuyot Shebe Babel. In other words, where's the continuation? Where did it continue? Well, in Bavel, in the Rashi Galoyot, it was the family of David HaMelech. Shirodim et ha'am b'shevet, that's, I mean, not so clear. They oppressed the nation with a staff. Shememunim al pi ha'malchut, they are appointed by the king of Bavel in order to kind of keep things in order. Actually, of course, the Jewish people, like all the minorities, owed taxes to the Babylonians. So they would appoint Jewish people who had a certain amount of honor in the community, and appointed them to collect the taxes on their behalf. And that's what Rashi says, Memunim al pi ha-malchut. It's the malchut of Bavel that appoints these Reshe Gola and allows them to have a certain amount of power in order to collect the taxes. So then we have this Ad Ki Yavo Shiloh. Ad Ki Yavo Shiloh. Like Shiloh reminds me of a place, the place that the Mishkan, I mean, after they moved across the Jordan River into Eretz Yisrael and started the conquest, they decided to put the Mishkan, what there was of it at that time, in a place called Shiloh. And the Mishkan stayed in that place for hundreds of years. It took 400 years to capture Yerushalayim and build the Beit HaMikdash. And it took, so during those years that Yerushalayim was not yet conquered, and the Beit HaMikdash was not yet built. Most of those years, not only, but most of those years, the Mishkan was in Shiloh, in a place called Shiloh. So he says, Lo Yasur Shevet Mi, Ad Ki Yavo Shiloh. So Rashi says, Shiloh, Melech HaMashiach. Shamlucha Shiloh. Shiloh is, the word Shiloh is a reference to Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach. Now, I don't know exactly, we don't know whether Mashiach is a real person or not a real person. I mean, but we all agree that the end of history, to a certain extent, is with the coming of the Melech HaMashiach, the Messianic King. Shamlucha Shiloh. And the Malchut belongs to him, meaning that he represents it, even if it has gone down in its value after the Churban Beit HaMikdash, And in Babel, you have Babylonian power giving the Reshei Golah, giving the Reshei Golah something to do, right? V'chein tergem unkelus. U'medrash Agadah Shiloh, but another interpretation, which he calls Medrash Agadah, which might mean that it's a little far-fetched, Shiloh, Shiloh. It is for him. It's a present for him. Shneamar, Yovilu Shai Lamora. Yovilu Shai Lamora. So that means Shai. It's the word Shiloh is made up of two words, but the meaning is the same. Ad ki yavo Shiloh means until they get what they're supposed to get. What they're supposed to get, the Melech HaMashiach. And of course, that will reinstate the Malchut of Yehuda. So that we have to say, Lo Yasu Shevet B'Yehuda. Doesn't mean that in all periods of history, the strength of the Yehuda will be the same. I mean, sometimes there'll be Reshei Golah, and sometimes there'll be other kinds of powers, but eventually, the full power of the king will be returned to Shevet Yehuda, right? And then Velo Yikat Amim. Lo Yikat Amim. I'm sorry, Mechokek Bein Ragbi Bein Raglav. You see Mechokek Bein Raglav? Talmidim, chog me bein raglav. Who's in between your feet? Well, let's say you're teaching a class and the students are sitting and the teacher is standing. So mechokek me bein raglav between his feet. It could be talmidim. Elu nisiyei eretz Yisrael. So we see we have a reference to nisiyei eretz Yisrael, right? The Tanaim. Up to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who wrote the Mishnah. And we know that the family of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the family of David HaMelech. And in Babel, we have the family of David HaMelech acting as Reshei Golah. Acting as Reshei Golah. Reshei Golah were the ones who were able to collect the taxes, and they had a certain amount of authority, which was granted them by the real king, by the real king okay? So now, Ad ki yavo Shiloh, Melech HaMashiach, Shehamalchut Shiloh, Melech HaMashiach, Shehamlucha Shiloh. Again, the same idea. Mashiach, Melech, we don't know if it's a real person or not a real person, Melech HaMashiach, Shehamlucha Shiloh, V'chein Tergem Unkelus. Or Medrash Agadah, as you remember, Shiloh meaning it's a present to him, something he gets. He will get Shneamar, etc. And then the last part of the Pasuk, which is the linguistically most difficult, Lo Yikat Amim. I guess the subject is still Yehuda. Lo Yikat Amim. Asefat Amim, like they all get together. They all get together. So what kind of word is this Yikhat? So Rashi says, Shayud Ikar He Bayasod. It's like the root of the word includes a Yud. Yud, Kuf, Hey. Okay, and then he goes on to prove this in different ways. Okay. So we've seen that what Yaakov says to Yosef, to Yehuda, is a prophecy, and it's a positive prophecy because it includes the fact that Yehuda will be the king, and that kingship will continue. According to Rashi, the way kingship continues is that even though the nation of the Jewish nation has been defeated and exiled, there still is some semblance of Malchut in the Reshe Gola in Babel and in the Nisiyim. In Eretz Yisrael, the Nisiyim come from the family of David HaMelech, also the family of David HaMelech. And so there's been a quick change around. Yehuda was concerned about the fact that he wasn't always proper in the actions that he took in his lifetime. But Yaakov assures him that, according to the Medrash, that according to the Rashi, Yaakov assures him that he's in the clear, so to speak, and that when he admitted that Tamar tzadkami many, that was like an act of tshuva, which was not something that was obvious or something that was even clear or something that was even known. And we know that in modernity we understand that the kiyum haTorah, and doing what you're supposed to be doing and learning what you're supposed to be learning, is largely a function of tshuva. It's largely a function of tshuva, because tshuva is the great enabler. It enables you to continue. It enables you to think about what should be. It says that you'll be judged, but that the judgment can be modified or mitigated. That's like a remarkable idea that Yehuda accepted. He'd accepted upon himself, but his brothers saw in him, according to Rashi, a special person with this special kind of talent, which is what enabled him ultimately to achieve leadership. Right? The leadership came from the fact that he could be a more perfect person than most. And perfection means to be able to do the, to keep the Torah, do the mitzvot, unencumbered by transgression. That's the thing that stops you. The fact that you are loaded down by transgression is what stops you from being from continuing, from moving on to getting greater heights. And tshuva says you can do it, which is quite remarkable. So if you look at the second part of the sheet, I want to quickly just see if we can go through this source, which is from the Medrash, Breshit Rabbah, Parashat Vayechi, Parashat Saritet, subdivision Chet. So this section goes through what we saw in Rashi, but you have to discover the small changes that are significant. Hare Shimon v'Levi yetzu v'hem p'neihem mechur kamot. Their faces were unhappy faces. V'hi v'haya mitjerei Yehuda shelo yizkol maaseh Tamar. And so Yehuda was worried. He saw what happened with his brothers, and he said, "Oh, Ma, I'm going to get it for what I did with Tamar." Itchil korelo Yehuda ata yodicha achecha. So Yaakov started out by saying, "Yehuda, your brothers know who you really are." Amalo Hakadosh Baruch Hu ata odeita b'maase Tamar. So here the Medrash takes a plays on the word Yoducha. And it says, Ata hodeita b'maaseh Tamar, you gave in on the case with Tamar. Your brothers will accept you, will admit that you are the one who is going to be the king in their world. Yadcha ba'orefai vecha, your hand is in the nape of the neck of your enemy. Ze David, Shu o made me menu. That's a reference to David Dichtim Bey. There's a pasuk. Va'oyvai tata li oref. So there's a pasuk as we saw. Ishtachavulecha b'nei avicha. The sons of your father will bow down to you. Yitzchak, Amalei li Yaakov b'nei imecha. Shelo aita lo eli shachat Rivka. Alo Yaakov shaya lo arba anashim amalei li Yehuda b'nei avicha. So we saw this in Rashi. We know, we understand it. We understand it. Then we're up to the next pasuk that says, Gur Aryeh Yehuda, Mitera b'ni Alita, Mitera b'ni Alita, Mitrei Foshel, Yosef. It was the murdering of Yosef. He wasn't murdered, but that's what Yaakov thought, Shamarta. Ma betza, you said, well, what do we get out of killing him? Let's go for the money. Davar cher b'terep mitarfa shel tamar sheitzalta sheitzalta dala nefashot. He says, the case, the story of Tamar, you, Yehuda, saved four people. Atzmecha, Tamar, u'shnei b'neha. You saved yourself, you saved Tamar, and as something they wanted to kill Tamar, he said no. Omale, Karashachav Karyeh, he crouched down like a lion. Uchilavi, Uchilavi, and like Lo Yasu Shevet Mi Yehuda. What about this pasuk that the power will always remain with Yehuda? Zekise Malchut. That's, we're talking about the seat of kingship. Isachalu imolava ed shevet bisho. Hey, Matai, Shamalchut shelo, when will this be? Velo yikatamin and the Mishab Mekeh. Shinei kol ha'umot, someone who is able to destroy the teeth of the nations, Shneamar, Yeshivu Yad al Peh, Aznehem Techrashna, Devar Acher Velo, Yikatamim, Mishumot Olam, Mitkalima. So there are several explanations indicating the power that Yehuda will have as the king. Kefen mi Mitzrayim tasiya, the Sarika b'nei Atanoa. That's sort of the end. So if you see that the Medrash, which Rashi of course bases itself on to a large degree, indicates that there's a fundamental problem in the presentation that lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. Sounds like it means once he achieves the kingship, it'll never leave him, meaning him, his family, etc. But this is clearly not true. This is clearly not true, and in fact, we know that many of the rulers who call themselves kings were not from the family of Yehuda. Some were not even Jewish, and if we go backwards a little bit, we see also the Rambam's insistence that somehow the 200 years of Malchut, of kingship, Jewish rulership in Bayit Sheni, leading to the end of Bayit Sheni, something noteworthy, something wondrous, which we should certainly. The third source that I prepared. Just 1 second. It's from the Drashot Haran, Rav Nissim Gurundi, a Drusha Shvi'i, the seventh Drush, me just where he has something a little bit different to say. Okay, we'll start from the beginning and we'll see how far we get. Al Dat Rabbeinu Zal Yesh Kan Derech Acheret. This is his explanation to the chronological problem. Remember, according to Yaakov, he'll always be king. You will always be the king. And according to the way we understand the history of it, there were many times when Yehuda was not king. So Al Dat Rabbeinu Zal Yesh Kan Derech Acheret Shevtichu Shelo Tasu Leolam Mishivto Ktzat Memshala. He said there'll always be a little bit of malchut, of rulership, in the family of Yehuda. Bein biyotam al admatam, whether they're in Eretz Canaan, their land, bein biyotam agola. V'chein hivtichu shelo tipasek Torah mizaro. A second promise is that they'll always be learning Torah, the descendants. V'zeu shama v'perek kama de Sanhedrin lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda elu rashay galayot shebabavel. These are the rashay galayot shebabavel shirodin et ha'am, and that we know from learning Rashi. U'mechokek mipen raglav elu b'nei banav. These are the descendants of Hillel, Shemilamdim Torah Barabim, that learned Torah publicly. Vine Yivtihu Bikan Shtei Haftachot. And in turn, there are two promises. Achat Shelo Yipasek Nagid Umitzave Mizaro Afilu Biyotenu Begola. The first promise is that there'll always be some sort of ruler, some sort of Jewish ruler. He's not totally powerful. He will be able to direct life to a certain extent. Mashenit sheyuzaro oskin b'Torah. The second one is that the children of Yehuda should always be learning Torah. Oskin b'Torah. Who she'amru Yisachar? Who she'amru? I'm sorry, who she'amru? In the Gemara, my Rabbi, lo mishkachat tzurba mirabbanan demori. There are no students. Ela da'ate mishevet Levi. O da'ate mishevet Yisachar. They came from the tribe of Levi. Or the tribe of Yisachar. Mi Levi dichsiv. How do I know that they came from Levi? Yerubishadecha. Li Yaakov. That's what it said about Levi. Mi Yisachar dichsiv. Apostle Gedibri Ayamim. Mi b'nei Yisachar yodea b'ina leitim. Ve'em anami miyu. Mi Yehuda dichsiv. Yehuda mechokekei. Asuke Shmata Aliba Dehilchataka Amrina. They were able to make determinations, halachic determinations, all right? Shava Pishalo Huftach Zaro Sheyaskim El Haemet Mikol Makom Huftach Sheloti Pasek Torah Mimena. There is, even though, all right, Shafal P. Yeah, just underline it. Afal pi shelo uftach zaro sheyaskim el haemet. It's not promised that they will get to the point. I mean, that they will know the halacha, but they will. It is promised uftach shelo tipasek Torah mimenu. that they will keep on learning Torah b'zevtecha dekayma leolam, and that's forever. That is forever. So that according to the Ran, you could say that the promise of Lo Yasu Shevet B'Yehuda, that is not about, it's not about Malchus, because we know that Malchus can come and it can go. And while we would like to reestablish it at all times, but it's hard to say that in our own time, now living in Eretz Yisrael, that the Malchus somehow is the Malchus that Yaakov Avinu was talking about. But it says, Lo Yasu Umechotek Mi Bein Raglav, that the two promises have to do with learning Torah, that Yehuda, the family of Yehuda, will be vigilant about Torah learning and will be able to direct Torah learning to a certain extent. And that will always be true. Even though it may not be that they'll know the psak or know the halacha at all the different times, nevertheless, uftach shelo tipasek Torah b'meni. V'zo haftachara, he says, kayemet, v'zo haftacha kayemet l'olam. This is always true. It's always true that the Talmud Torah, that Yehuda is heavily invested in Talmud Torah. Bein shei bizman shisrael al admatam, bein beit lechtam b'gola, b'yat ha-go'el, לכתב בגולה, ולפי הנמצא לרבותינו זל במדרשים, and as the חכמים pointed out in the מדרשים, יש להם דעת אחרת, ושזאת ההבטחה לא תתחיל רק אחרי ביאת הגואל. There's another possibility, that this promise that they will remain devoted to Talmud Torah, that only starts after the time of the Mashiach. Yavtichenu ki af al pi she'tipasek ha-malchut mi-mishpachto bizman hazeh, and even though Malchut will disappear from Yehuda at that time, is then the Malchut ביאת הגואל, ויבטיחנו, כי אף על פי שתיפסק המלכות ממנו, even though Yehuda is going to lose מלכות after the Mashiach, and Mashiach will be the Melech, Melech HaMashiach. כי יפסק המלכות ממשפחתו בזמן הזה, אחר ביאת המשיח, לא אחרי ביאת המשיח, לא תיפסק בזרעו לעולם. He says, so that's when the promise kicks in. When the Mashiach comes, then everybody will be, then Yehuda will no longer be king, but the Melech HaMashiach will be king, and that'll go on forever. V'yeh, עד כי יבוא שילו כמו בזמן, she yavo shilo, the time that kemo bizman she yavo shilo, just as similar to the time they came to shilo, bizem muskar bebreshit rabba bebreshit rabba ubi yelamdenu is the tanchuma. אמרו שם, לא יצאו שבט מיהודה, זה כיסא מלכות, לא יצאו שבט, that's a reference to the seat of kingship, שנאמר, כיסאך אלוקים, עולם ועד, that your seat will be there forever, ומחוקק מבין רגליו, כשיבוא אותו שכתוב בו, כתוב Tiroem b'shevet barzel b'cholkeg b'rin raglav elu yoshvei yabetz ad ki yavo shilo sha'atidin kol omoto olam lahavi doron l'mashiach ben David sh'ne'emar be'et ha'hi yuval shai l'ashem tzevakot. So that means that ad ki yavo shilo, there's like some kind of idea that something is going to happen. So ad ki yavo shilo certainly refers to the coming of the Mashiach, the messianic era. But in terms of what he's promising Yehuda, there are two promises. One has to do with his malchut, that he's going to assume malchut, and he may continue it in some manner or other, even in the times of the diaspora. And the other promise is that his children, or the tribe of Yehuda, will be committed to Torah learning, and thereby pave the way for the coming of the Mashiach, Melech HaMashiach. We see that sometimes, psukim need interpretation, and the interpretation is not always obvious, and the lack of obvious interpretation makes things difficult. But we see that there's like an honest attempt to try to get it. And the fact that we don't get it is not so remarkable, because after all, we're talking about prophecy. And prophecy is something that comes to people who have a special knack of understanding things. And we can't always expect everybody else, like ourselves, to understand exactly what the pasuk is talking about. All the best to you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
All right, Marilyn, I'm finished. You only